Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Calvert Cheney, Terry DeHare, Joey Devine, Rex Walters, AC Earl, Adonis Jordan, Sean Keane, Patreons, Kyle Bonnet, thank you, Kyle. Eric Freeman, thank you, Eric. Elf Hogs, thank you, Elf. Musical guest, Gaggy Taw. And now the temporary host of Brown Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new free episode of the show. Sean Keen, Sean, how are you? My co-host, he's here. Forgot the front half of that sentence.
I'm good. I'm doing fine.
Before we get our show started, though, a little bit of business to do off the top. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone that's in the description, the phone number that's in the description of this episode. Twitter at roundrockpod, Patreon, patreon.com/roundrockpod. 5-star reviews. Apparently that helps. Every podcast says it, so we've decided we also have to say it. And, more importantly, live show Thursday. Sean, are you ready?
I think I'm pretty ready. It's going to be weird.
It is going to be weird.
I'm psyched is the main thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm psyched.
7:30 at the Virgil. All proceeds go to charity. I believe I said it was the food shelter before, but it's actually the Downtown Women's Shelter. I somehow made that mistake last episode. And PATH. All proceeds go to that. It's us. It's Nitz from Count the Dings. It's the Flagrant Ones. It's Horse. It's our friends, the Super Hoopers. It's our friends, Airbuds. It's NBA Desktop. It's Dunktown. It's, have I forgotten anyone?
I mean, maybe, but, you know, they can go to PodStarWeekend.com.
PodStarWeekend.com for tickets. Sean, we have a lot of calls.
We do.
Should we go to the phones?
Let's do it.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, our first call comes from very, very good friend of the pod. She's been on a couple of times. She's getting to the point where she's going to be too big for our podcast here soon. I just hope it doesn't happen.
I think she's going to stop texting us, too.
Yeah, I do.
Well, like, maybe her publicist will text us occasionally.
She's in Chicago covering All-Star Weekend, probably starting right now. She's from Vice Sports Canada, from the Basketball Feelings newsletter. It's our friend Katie Heindel. Here's what she had to say. God, what? That was terrible. What am I doing?
You guys, I'm calling with the most terrible news. News so bad, it's almost devastated my mood in going to All-Star. I can't even get the words out. I just found out I have the same birthday as Boston Child Coach Brad Stevens. Same exact day. I don't even know what this means. I feel like my identity's in a tailspin. Well, I'd understand it if you don't want to be friends with me anymore or have anything to do with me, because I feel like this has made my identity completely fraudulent. Anyway, miss you guys. Your fraudulent friend, Katie.
All right, Sean. How do you feel about Katie's bad news?
I mean, she took it pretty hard. I don't necessarily feel like it's an indictment of Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I kind of feel like Brad Stevens wouldn't be nearly as bad if he weren't coaching the Boston Celtics specifically.
No, he would, because
I feel like it's the combination of those energies.
But it's also, he's a college coach, you know what I mean? He's got, like, the most college coach energy. And not in, like, a fun, disgraced way like Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, Quinn Snyder, like that he looks like sanctions.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like he could go to a Macy's and they would take away one of his scholarships. You know, they're like, did you get this credit card from a booster, Quinn? yeah, he's like a walking no show job, basically. No, it's disheartening for sure. So I asked her for some follow-up, and the other people that share that birthday include Jeff Goldblum, Franz Liszt, Daniel Boone,
oh no,
Bobby Seale,
Jesus,
and America's finest Marine, Shaggy.
Mm-hmm. Respect the troops, respect it not being you, Shaggy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Respect Mr. Boombastic. Uh-huh. That is a rough list of birthday sharers, I would say.
I think she considered those all positive, I'm going to say.
I'm going to say, though, that's a rough list.
Franz Liszt? There's nothing wrong with Franz
Liszt. Yeah, Franz Liszt is fine. You know, the other ones, I'm not so sure.
I mean, I don't think... Is Daniel Boone complicated?
I mean, the Alamo was a pretty complicated event.
I think that's Davy Crockett, though.
Wasn't Daniel Boone also at the Alamo? Maybe not.
I think Daniel Boone is more of a pure wilderness man, but maybe I'm... Look, I've certainly confused the two of them. I think Daniel Boone was more of a friend of bars.
Okay,
He was too old to be in...
You're right. I'm confusing my coonskin hat wearers.
That's true. That's true.
Apologies to Daniel Boone and the entire Daniel Boone estate, including Josh Boone, former UConn center.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. And Boone from Lost, yeah, also in the
And D. Boone from the Minutemen. Yeah. Sean, do you share any NBA birthdays?
So Katie's NBA birth. I'm sorry, Katie's NBA birthdays. In addition to Brad Stevens, there were only a couple recognizable ones. I gotta say, Drazen Petrovic,
awesome,
pretty good.
One of the best ones you could have, I think.
Gennaro Pargo,
also a good one.
Jeff McGinnis,
really good one. One of my favorite shitty Clippers, Jeff McGinnis.
Yeah, he's good. He. He got traded for Andre. I think he and Darius Miles got traded for Andre Miller in a trade that was supposed to like really cement the young Clippers, mm-hmm. and instead it destroyed them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It was. I think because there were like eight guys who were like 22 years old and in a contract year at the same time.
Yeah,
it's a little rough. And then Hall of Famer Slater Martin.
Mm.
I believe he was born in 1922. Okay, so my NBA birthdays, Dirk Nowitzki,
mm-hmm.
who also shares the exact same month, date, and year with Garfield the Cat.
Okay.
it's also Marvin Williams,
mm-hmm.
Anthony, brother of Candace Parker, Judd uh-huh. Buchler, the inventor of the jump stop, and one of... third-team all-rookie Jordan Poole of the Golden State Warriors. Possibly the worst player in the NBA this year.
That's pretty good. Do you have? What about your celebrities, though?
Oh, I mean, Dirk's the biggest celebrity, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Here, give your NBAs, and I'll get a good selection.
My NBAs are Dwayne Wade.
Hell yeah.
Which every year on my birthday, I do not enjoy my birthday, but one thing I do take solace in is the fact that Dwayne Wade is 1 year older than me, which means he's going to die first.
It's true.
Because that's how that works. I also have Tyler Zeller, the worst Zeller.
He's an inferior Zeller for sure.
Alonzo Trier and Earl Clark. Not a strong list, I would say. I do think it's interesting that you and I, Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, enemies?
Uh-huh.
It's weird we share those birthdays.
It is weird, because, like, even when they were all-stars together, it was still like, yeah, they still kind of hate each other.
Yeah.
So my celebs, Nazi sympathizer Wallace Simpson.
Very cool.
Forced King Edward VIII to abdicate.
Uh-huh.
Because she was divorced. Pascal, the guy with the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Gehrig.
Mm-hmm.
Mo from the Three Stooges.
It's pretty good.
And not bad. I mean, if you're going to be... It's going to be anyone in the Three Stooges. Pauline Kiel.
Okay, that's good.
She lost it at the movies.
She's cool.
Did you know that? Nancy Marchand, who played Livia Soprano,
uh-huh.
of course. Poor you to share a birthday with her. Aung San Suu Kyi, the Burmese politician turned war criminal. Salman Rushdie.
Okay.
Felicia Rashad.
All right.
Lou Pearlman, who on Wikipedia is listed as American producer and fraudster. The king of the boy bands and the king of embezzlement, I believe. Paula Abdul.
Okay. These are good. These are good, Sean. This is a good list.
Boris Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
These are all pretty strong. It's a crazy mm-hmm. day to be born, I would say. Hugh Dancy.
Okay.
From that cult show on Hulu, The Path.
Uh-huh.
That's what he's best known for, right?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Zoe Saldana.
Mm-hmm.
Macklemore.
Wow. You're just making up names now. You're just making up names.
Macklemore is younger than me, and it hurts. And, Jacob deGrom.
Oh, nice.
The pitcher. Yeah.
I have Muhammad Ali.
That's very good.
Michelle Obama.
Wow.
Betty White.
Oh, the funniest woman in America.
Funniest woman in America. SNL's forever host, Betty White. Jim Carrey.
Wow.
Steve Harvey.
Oh, wow. Heavy hitters.
Jake Paul.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kensuke Miyazaki. Wow. Here's a weird one. Are you ready? Al Capone.
Al Capone?
Yeah. Zooey Deschanel, the voice of Cotton. James Earl Jones.
Mufasa himself.
Ray J.
Oh, pretty good. I've seen one of his films.
Calvin Harris and Tiesto.
Whoa.
So, dude, you know.
How are you not in Vegas all the time?
How am I not headlining whatever one of those weird clubs is?
Like Amethyst.
Hold on. I've lost the list here.
Joey Devine.
Oh, Kid Rock. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Your birthday is incredible.
Lil Jon.
What?
Maury Povich.
Oh my god. You are the birthday boy.
And then Eartha Kitt.
Pretty tight.
Weird list of people.
I didn't look at Katie's celebrity people. I just focused on the NBA.
Anyway, Katie. Just be the best person born on that day.
Yeah, exactly. You're almost there.
Yeah. In no way do we think you're fraudulent because you share a birthday with one of the more depressing people in the basketball hemisphere.
Yeah. I would say though, lean into the birthday. You already like the Nets, Katie. Get a Petrovic jersey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, dude. All right, Sean, it's a new episode, so you know what that means.
Yep, I do.
We got a call from a writer from the Daily Beast,
mm-hmm.
former podcaster from the Take It or Break It podcast, dog photoer,
mm-hmm.
In charge of the Bad Photo Journalism newsletter, which true. We keep forgetting to mention.
I subscribe.
Bane of at Corbin Smith NFL's existence.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin A. Smith. So here's that call. Big Corb's Corner. Big Corb's Corner. Big Corb's Corner. A call from Corbs.
Hey there, fellas. Big Corbs here. Corbin Smith. On a mid-afternoon walk. I actually happen to be looking at the Planet Fitness where I called you last time, but I'm not going there. I'm going somewhere else. I just near my house. You know, there's always a lot of talk about the All-Star game, you know, about if it's competitive enough, things of that nature. Oh, excuse me. I'm walking in very cold weather, and honestly, I'm just getting over pretty severe sickness. So maybe this isn't the best idea I've ever had, but I've been cooped up in the house. What am I supposed to do? Anyway, All-Star game every year. They're like, you're not competitive enough. It's not competitive enough. It's bad or, you know, whatever the fuck. Here's my idea for the All-Star game. All right. We don't do anything with the players. All right. Cause, you know, they're just going to do what they do. Another person has joined me at the corner where I'm standing. I'm the board. I'm freaking her out. Cause I'm just talking. But anyway, we don't do anything with the players, but what we do is that we make it open season for bribing refs. Like, if you bribe a ref in the service of the All-Star game, you can give him as much as you want, you know? And so that way, there'll be all these sort of competing interests, bribing the three referees who play, and then everything in the game will be textured by sort of open speculation about, you know, which refs took the bribes. What kind of bribe did they take? Was it a points bribe? Was it a winning bribe, you know? And so we're all just like sitting around, like seeing this thing through the prism of how it's being affected by external forces. And I just think that would make the All-Star game really interesting, you know? I mean, we're never going to get the players to try, which is fine. Why should they? You know, it's like a baby game. Baby games are fun. I don't mind being, you know, I love to see a big-headed, squishy little baby going, wah, 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 whatever the fuck it is they do. But, you know, I really think that if we tweak with the other human element in this, that we could really get something interesting out of that. All right.
So he called us from Planet Fitness again, Sean.
He was near enough to Planet Fitness that I'm going to consider that. And also may have accidentally street harassed a woman traveling by herself.
What was his question?
Wouldn't the All-Star game be better if you were allowed to bribe the refs? Because then it would be okay that the players didn't try, because we would spend the whole time thinking, did LeBron bribe the refs?
Do they have to do it openly?
Well, he just said legally, not openly.
Yeah, but are they like mic'd up? Like, so do we know it's happening? Like,
no, I think what Corbin was saying is that it would make us question the reality of the game, and that would make it more interesting that there were outside forces controlling the All-Star game rather than the players.
Oh, so it's not the players bribing them, it's like us?
No, I think it's the players bribing them, but we as observers don't know what it is that is making the game so off-kilter. I think he's trying to make the All-Star game more like life, where you don't know who has been bribed in positions.
So, like, he wants Debbie Wasserman Schultz refereeing it?
I think so. Or I think he wants
Tom
it to
Perez.
Be...
He wants, yeah, Tom Perez in the video.
They're just
going to
be, like, canvassing after every quarter. Someone's like, hey, that ref gave someone 7 points for a three-pointer. And they're like, I'm sorry, we cannot review those kind of errors.
I mean, they just announced in the fourth quarter that Mike Bloomberg's team has entered the game. And it's, like, an entirely new team.
He's just, like, riding on Andre Drummond's shoulders for some reason so he can still dunk. Mini Mike, right?
Yeah, Mini Mike B. Don't make fun of short people. Sir, how dare you make fun of people over 5'9", under 5'9", sir?
Sir.
It's the average, sir. That was making fun of both Sir Twitter and anytime an attractive woman on Twitter posts about how she won't date a short person.
Yes.
They're the same guys.
We're also making fun of Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, of course. So, Mr. President!
Here's what I'm going to say.
I don't think this would make the All-Star game better. That's what I'm going to say.
Here's what I'm going to say. Let them bribe the other players.
Yeah, that's better.
Because, whatever. LeBron wants the All-Star game MVP, that's fine. But you got to make it worth Trae Young's while.
And I want it to happen. It should be like Survivor, where we see that happen. You know
what
I mean?
Right, yeah. Yeah. The players don't know, but we know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It happens in like a backstage confessional.
Mm-hmm. They either reveal it or they have to try to find a time to bribe the officials and other players where other people aren't watching.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it would just be like a cabal of clutch sports guys.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what it is already.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Was it a little disappointing to you that the All-Star draft happened and it ended up just being an East versus West game? Anyway,
I mean, no, because I like East versus West.
Yeah, it is better, but it's like for people who are just like, oh, the draft, they did it. It's like, well, you ended up with the starters on the same teams. And is it really fun for everybody that LeBron gets the first pick every year? Does everyone enjoy that? It feels like it's maybe not that fun, but I don't know. I'm not Commissioner Adam Silver.
Look, the All-Star game is the worst part of All-Star weekend, by far.
Absolutely.
And it always has been.
There's always these like crazy proposals to change it, and it's like, just let them play the All-Star game.
Like, this year they're gonna win by getting the amount of, like, they tally up state delegates based on Kobe by powers of 24 or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and every state has to be represented, but yeah, did any player who went to UNLV gets to score first, I guess.
I also don't think they understand how quickly the fourth quarter's gonna end.
Right, that you have to score. It's the first team to get to 24.
Yeah.
Like, have you watched an All-Star game before? Because
that happens in, like, 3 minutes.
I think the winning team had 180 points last year. So, do the math on that one. And, well, you know what they'll do? They'll just have Dame Lillard do another freestyle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I liked when people perform musically. You saw that tweet, right?
Oh, is that what it was phrased as?
Yeah, Shams tweeted it. Hold on, perform. Let me get the exact words here.
So he could be doing a song from Small Ball the musical. It's still possible, right?
So yeah, Shams tweeted on the NBA trade deadline day, by the way, like in the middle of
perfect time,
tweeted, unique wrinkle for NBA All-Star Weekend. Portland's Damian Lillard will perform musically during Saturday night events in Chicago.
Well, he was Kobe Bryant's favorite rapper, and then, so it makes sense.
And then everybody made fun of him, because obviously. And then he was like, he tried to make up for it with a second tweet that was just like, Dame Dalla on the mic.
Oh my God. Joey, the thing is, I really feel for Dame Lillard because, and I'm going to warn him, when people find out that you're a comedian and you still have a day job where you work in an office, people are often encouraging you to do material. And, I worked at a nonprofit for 10 years. Sometimes coworkers came to see me at shows. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But only once did I actually perform in a workplace situation.
You shouldn't have done that.
I shouldn't have, but my boss was retiring and he was very old.
Okay.
So I managed to kind of roast him. And that was okay. I didn't do any of my normal
jokes.
Then
that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, that was okay.
You just used it as an excuse to tell your boss that he's like old and ugly or whatever.
Yeah, and just like making fun of how poor everybody is. Like this was a underfunded nonprofit, Joey. So that was okay, but still, even that was not. I probably shouldn't have done it. It worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about as well as it's gonna do. I don't think Dame really wants to be doing this.
He's playing well. He really wants to be doing this, dude. This is like Dame's fucking shit. Like, look, I love Dame. Dame is playing out of his mind. He's like a fucking MVP, but like, this is like the kind of corny shit Dame loves to do, dude. Remember when he made such a big deal about how he was like going to be the first guy to play in all five events on Saturday? Like, this is, he loves being, like, not picked for All-Star and then complaining about it. And then he loves doing the most.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He loves both.
Just don't think it's going to go well.
It's on Saturday. No one's going to see it.
Yeah, they're going to wait for they're going to be burned out by the hour and a half long dunk contest.
Yeah, it's going to be like, it's fine. Whatever. Good for Dame. Like, I wish I had an employer that would support my hobbies as much as the NBA supports his. Should we get to, like, some other reader mail? Some paper?
Yeah, let's do
paper
it.
Reader mail? Okay.
Paper mail.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, our first question comes from our friend John Sullivan, Sean, who asks, after hearing that Brandon Knight was included in the Andre Drummond trade, I realize that I've never seen him actually play basketball, but he gets traded every year. Is Brandon Knight a real person or just a cap hold that teams trade?
All
he's
right.
Definitely a real person.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a ghost. He's a li- he's the NBA's equivalent of a ghost, right?
Yeah, it's... I gotta say, so I was watching a lot of the NCAA tournament. I think the 1 year Brandon Knight was at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say in that tournament, he hit 2 buzzer-beating game winners. And I remember watching and thinking, look, this guy is a player.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got traded every single year. I don't think I've seen him play basketball for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But he was, like, really injured in
I'm just saying,
Phoenix.
Yeah, but couldn't he have been replaced by Brevin Knight or one of those other Knights, and you'd never know, right?
Travis.
Well, there's I think there's a Brandon Knight.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah.
Who went to Pittsburgh, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And that's the guy I think is maybe the imposter.
Well, here's the thing about Brandon Knight. He was really good for like 2 years, but some very memorable, embarrassing things happened to him within like 3 weeks of each other, and uh-huh. he never was able to survive it.
So it's the dunk.
Well, before the dunk, though.
Okay.
Rookie Kyrie Irving in the rookie sophomore game broke his ankles on 3 straight possessions, I believe. I might be wrong. I might be overselling that, but he definitely like tried to D up Kyrie, and Kyrie really embarrassed him. And then like a week and a half later, he tried to block a DeAndre Jordan alley-oop,
uh-huh.
and literally it looked like he died.
Yeah.
Like, people CGI put a coffin landing on the ground where he landed. And that was, like, early basketball Twitter. Like, that people weren't doing that yet. You know what I mean? House of Highlights did not exist as of yet.
Yeah.
Bleacher Report was still getting clicks by like being like, oh, here's 25 professional volleyball players with wedgies or whatever to get clicks. Yeah. And then the next season, he was playing really well for the Bucks, where I believe people thought he was like a snub for the All-Star game, if I remember right.
With the Bucks?
Yeah. But then got traded to the Suns.
Oh, when he got traded to the Suns, he was pretty good. I mean, he was leading the Bucks in points and assists.
Yeah.
And okay, so in 2014-15, 18-5-4, he got a lot of steals. Mm-hmm. Was shooting 40% from 3, and then he was actually really good. It's just weird that he got traded almost arbitrarily.
Yes, that's the thing.
And then he went to the Suns, and you know, he was like a triple-double machine for a while for the Suns.
But he was on the Suns, so
right.
Inevitably it was not going to work.
Well, and then you know, he was very, very hot for you know, they traded him, he signed a big 5-year contract, which is still hasn't expired yet, mm-hmm. played great for half a season, and then basically missed 2 months with injuries, and then he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
And then that was... You know what he also got hurt by? The Suns were in that ultra tank mode, and they just shut him down
for
like half a season.
Yeah, didn't they just send him home?
Yeah, and he was like 25 years old. He's still... How old is Brandon Knight now? He's not old.
He's Kyrie Irving's age, isn't he?
What's that?
He's Kyrie Irving's age.
Well, I mean, I don't... Offhand, Kyrie is 28. I think they're both 28. Yeah. And he just turned 28.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy. But yeah, he just kind of never came back from blowing out his knee, mm-hmm. which happens a lot. But
he also never kind of came back from being traded by the Bucks for kind of no reason.
I mean, I just think he was good for half a year.
Yeah, but I just mean, like, he probably would have stayed good the whole time if he was on the Bucks. You know what I mean?
It was just some, like, bizarre shit where the Sixers ended up with some extremely valuable Suns pick. That was that Laker pick. It went to the Sixers, and it was like... The Bucks were collecting guys from Syracuse, and Phoenix wanted a team of all guys who went to Kentucky.
Well, and the Bucks didn't want to. The Bucks were in cheap mode because they hadn't sold the team yet, right? And they wanted to get rid of. They didn't want to have to pay him,
right? Because he was gonna get.
He was gonna be a restricted free agent
that has now been traded 11 times.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The Bucks got well. The crazy thing is that the Bucks decided. They got Tyler Ennis and Miles Plumlee,
mm-hmm.
and they decided to pay Miles Plumlee almost as much as Brandon Knight, and they just really wanted Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah,
sorry,
Brandon
Knight. We really
Knight,
talked about him a lot.
And kind of also didn't answer the question. Brandon Knight is he's an NBA ghost. But he like haunts. Not a place, but an object that he's like Annabelle. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that, it just keeps getting passed around.
Yeah, his contract is haunted, and when it expires, like, will he cease to exist?
Yeah, good question. I mean, within the confines of the NBA, I think probably yes. Unfortunately, all right. Our next question comes from our friend Patrick Cosmos, Chicago's strongest, buffest man. He asks, is the new look all manlit Rockets team a manifestation of Daryl Morey's flair for the theatrical? Is it Tillman time? I haven't really processed the trade and I need answers. Also, is it good or bad that the manlit threshold for an NBA player is 6'8"? We kind of answered this in our trade deadline episode, but I think it's more of a make-a-wish situation for Mike D'Antoni before he dies. It's like a last meal. It's exactly what he's always wanted.
It's like
right
it's like
before
Bat Kid, kind of.
Yeah,
right?
It's exactly like Bat Kid. Mike D'Antoni is the Bat Kid of the NBA, giving him his dream. Bat Kid's still alive, I think. Hopefully. Hey, shouts to Bat Kid. Before they fire Mike D'Antoni for almost no reason, they're giving him his dream.
Yeah. Bat Kid is alive, guys.
Thank God.
Jesus.
I was really worried I was gonna have to cut that part of the podcast. All right. Shouts to Bat Kid. We love you. Live forever. Shouts to Mike D'Antoni. I don't know what happens to you after this, but I'm glad you're enjoying the all 6'8" and under.
Yeah, I kind of wonder.
You've always wanted.
I do wonder if there is a theater thing where he's like, it is impossible to get costumes for a guy above a certain height, like because originally. He was trying to, you know, write a musical for Yao Ming, and just technically it was impossible to get the lighting right, and yeah.
What about the manlit threshold question, Sean? Is it good or bad?
As someone who's a full foot shorter than that, it's a little depressing. but the thing is, it's like, how tall is PJ Tucker? 6'6"? 6'5"?
6'7", I think.
Oh, okay. Well, he just seems like it's almost like it feels like
no,
a lot
6'5",
of the Rockets, despite their what's up?
He's 6'5". Donnie Wolhouse is 6'7".
Okay. Yeah, Covington's the tallest guy. But sometimes it feels like all the Rockets have the same amount of mass, mm-hmm. but it's just distributed around their bodies differently.
Yeah, it's as if they're drafting based on atomic number.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. Like how much water would they displace in a tank?
Yeah, yeah. Well, not Isaiah Hartenstein.
No.
He's the tallest one, right? Or did they waive him?
I mean, I don't know. let's see what's going on with Hartenstein.
Hartenstein's monster.
Yeah, yeah. He's the doctor's name is. let's see. He is. He's still on the Rockets. He's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah. He had he had like a good week this season.
Yeah.
At one point. D'Antoni's never going to play. He
would have ended up on the Chris Mullin Warriors because he has a weird name and he's left-handed.
I think it's a good thing. 6'8's cool. Good height. Cool height.
Yeah.
6'8's a cool height.
You're not showing off that much.
Yeah. you got real long arms if you're 6'8. That's a cool thing in an NBA player. All right. Sean, we haven't heard from him in a while, but he's back. We've heard from, you might recognize this next man from asking which NBA owners, what songs would they karaoke, or which sex scenes are which NBA GM. We've heard from him again. It's Dunn Nelson, a.k.a. Ninja Purtle, a.k.a. Shot Daddy. Himself, David Jordan. Robot, play David Jordan's drop.
Now, at guard from North Carolina, you know him from What GM is What Sex Scene? And what owners should karaoke what songs? The King Questioner himself, at Ninja Purtle on Twitter, formerly Shot Daddy, aka Don Nelson. But Shot Daddy in our hearts. Here he is. The goat of reader mail. David Jordan.
All right, Sean. Dave, our friend Dave Jordan asks, one thing we know for sure is that the other day I was thinking about that time Twitter cyberbullied the Smash Mouth guy into trying to eat 2 dozen eggs for charity. Question, which NBA players could be most easily cyberbullied into doing something equally ludicrous, and what would you have them attempt to do? And he said, unrelated, Daryl Morey, go on round ball, shut it down.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it, man. Shut it down, let's go watch the dunk contest and hope Dwight Howard does some kind of horribly misguided Kobe tribute. I'm going to count that as a question, too.
Yes.
But we'll get to this cyberbully part first. I mean, Dwight Howard, speaking of which, was already cyberbullied into standing for Palestine that one time, remember?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. That was incredible. Like, no commentary on the issue, but just it's so funny that he took a stand.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I mean, what would you, I mean, there's nothing you could do that's, I think, better than Dwight Howard, making Dwight Howard stick up Palestine.
Yeah, tweet hashtag free Palestine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was,
I think you could bully CJ McCollum pretty easily on the internet. I mean, look, sometimes, like with Jennifer, he responds with aplomb.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's really rattled. And I feel like you could definitely get him to do any kind of hashtag challenge,
mm-hmm.
as long as it was ostensibly for a good cause.
Yeah, even if you made up that cause.
Right, right. Like shave your head for a cause, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I would try to get him to shave his mustache off, but his mustache only.
I think there's an easy answer to this question, and it's funny because it's a person who's not been who's actually been proven difficult to bully by an actual authoritarian. But I think you could you could easily cyberbully Enos Kanter into doing anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's more trickery, probably.
I don't think it's, but like, I just think he's so thirsty. Online. He's so online, and he's just so thirsty for likes. You know what I mean? That you could easily convince Enos Kanter to like. Like, you could convince him to, like, tattoo Guy Fieri's face on his arm, I think.
Who was he talking about recently? It was a very... He's almost too online to follow.
But, yeah.
I mean, he I think it looks like he hosted the Boston Israeli Film Festival this week.
Okay.
Which, you know, good for him. This is the funniest thing Enos Kanter did this week, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted, quote, "When we use love and compassion as our guiding principles, we can create systems of change. Not when we cancel each other out for past mistakes, but when we guide each other to grow for redemption. That is the best of humanity. Joaquin Phoenix. Hashtag Oscars." And then he...
It's a gif of the Joker dancing down the stairs. Yeah.
So yeah, you're right.
I think
what would you try to get him to do?
I want to try and make him get like
a tattoo.
Yeah, a tattoo of, in fact, of that car, that shitty fake painting of that car where it's like Heath Ledger's Joker is driving. And Joaquin Phoenix Joker is in the passenger seat, and Jared Leto Joker's in the back seat. I think we could cyberbully him into getting that tattoo.
Yeah, can I tell you another Enos Kanter Twitter thing?
Yeah, uh-huh.
This week, February 9th, a celebrity tweeted, "This guy spreads good vibes wherever he goes, at Enos Kanter." It was Ben Stiller.
But yeah, I definitely think we should come up with something good to cyberbully Enos Kanter into doing, because I think it would be very easy, frankly.
Oh, can I tell you one more thing?
Uh-huh.
This is what he tweeted 3 days ago. "Thank you for your support and friendship, at Tulsi Gabbard."
Yeah, yeah. He's friends with the Clintons, too, don't forget now.
It's amazing. He's everywhere.
All right, let's talk about Dwight Howard's Kobe dunk.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be bad. What do you think it's going to be?
I mean, okay, if he was doing a good one, he would be going up for the dunk, and then someone in a Kobe jersey would dunk on him, and there'd just be this long fart sound. Because that would more address his tenure with Kobe.
Right.
So it's gotta be like a comedic thing that's maybe 20 years outdated and a tribute to Kobe.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I think he's gonna dunk on an 8-foot hoop.
But he's like dressed as Zoolander. An 8-foot.
It's gonna be bad.
He's like,
dude.
Lower it. Yeah. Lower it. Oh, okay. I think this is what he does. He goes into a phone booth and he changes into a Kobe jersey instead of a Superman outfit.
Uh-huh.
And then he just does a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the cape says like GG on it or something.
Yeah, it's gonna be so bad.
It's gonna be terrible. But he's gonna now that I've thought of it, it's gonna be terrible. It's definitely happening. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what's our top story?
Our top story is the hashtag Yang Gang.
Oh, no. What happened?
Has been cleared out of the neighborhood. Andrew Yang has dropped out of the Democratic presidential primary. It was quite a ride. Universal basic income. I'm not really sure what else he was doing.
But
math t-shirts everywhere.
But who is Dominique Wilkins going to endorse? That's why we're talking about it on our show.
The biggest question. Let's think about it. He was a Yang Gang guy.
It's
they
Steyer,
were friends.
Dude. It's Steyer.
Oh, Steyer. yeah. Because I think Dominique really cares about the environment.
And also, he wants a billionaire in office. That's what his deal is, right? He wants a businessman.
He wants a rich guy.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our real top story, though, which is the New York Knicks got their Anthony Scaramucci today.
Yes.
Steve Stout, who on Friday, I believe, the Knicks announced they'd hired him to be a brand consultant.
Yeah.
He used to manage Nas and Mary J. Blige, and he was an Interscope executive.
Yes.
And he... went on First Take today and gave an interview, and then the Knicks essentially fired him.
I couldn't figure out what the consequences were. Now, granted, I was mostly using the New York Post, my most trusted newspaper, as the sources.
Woj described him as being benched.
Right. Here are some of the things he said on First Take as the brand consultant. He said the team needed a change, which is why they fired Steve Mills. But he implied that he had fired the team president.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did imply that. Yeah.
He said that firing would lead to a new coach to develop the young players. The Knicks have a coach named Mike Miller, not that Mike Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He also said they need a coach with the magnitude and the gravitas so the media would love to talk to him and believe him, which is... a crazy thing to say in like that sentence is crazy. And then he said, Toronto Raptors, they brought in Drake to bring that thing. Mm-hmm. The New York Knicks brought in me. So he thinks he's like Drake.
And then explain his history with rappers though, too.
So he was Nas's manager, Mary J. Blige's manager, and he worked at a record company, which I think he was working with Will Smith originally too, but he also seems to have pissed off a lot of people. Dame Dash seems to rip him a lot. He implied that he just rips people off to try to make as much money as he can. I think there was some point when Jay-Z was in a beer commercial that had a Confederate flag and Steve Stout like put that deal together. Puffy almost went
to
jail.
This is the important one.
Yeah. The important one is, so most recently the NBA one is 50 Cent just screamed at him at a courtside at a Knicks game 5 years ago. And many years ago, apparently it was because there was a Nas video where they shot a scene where Puffy was being crucified and Puffy's like, please do not put that in the video. It was in the video. He went to his office, tossed over his desk, and apparently beat him down with a champagne bottle.
Yeah,
And the story I read said, well, he always carries a champagne bottle wherever he goes, which was so funny. Some people claim that he broke Steve Stout's jaw and arm. I believe that was denied. Anyway,
the Knicks hired a guy who physically
threatened and beat up by a lot of powerful people.
The Knicks hired a guy who to be their quote-unquote Drake, who is most famous for getting beat up by famous people.
Yeah,
that's
the
most important
thing
here.
Drake throws champagne bottles. He doesn't get hit by them. The Knicks immediately released a statement where they said he does not speak for the team on personnel issues. So he has been benched. I don't think he's actually been fired, but I think he's probably not allowed to speak to the media.
But also the Knicks don't fire people.
No, that's true. I mean, Steve Mills wasn't fired.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I don't think Isaiah Thomas, doesn't he still kind of work for the Knicks?
Yes. So I'm pretty sure this is, he got fired by the Knicks. They just don't fire people.
Well, it's also like, do you have to replace him as brand consultant? No, that's a fake job anyway.
Well, yes, they do. And I have the person to hire.
Who's that?
Shingy.
Oh, because he no longer works for Microsoft, right?
Yeah, they should hire Shingy.
Shingy's good, or, you know, like go a different direction. Don't hire McLemore, hire Ryan Lewis as your new brand consultant.
No, get out of here.
Look, you want to keep it, hip-hop, you want to keep it authentic, you want to attract those free agents.
I just don't understand, they have a brand consultant and always have, and... They don't pay him anything, and his name is Spike Lee. I don't understand what they're doing.
Of dollars a year. He does not get free tickets.
No. I don't understand what they're doing. Like, yeah. Spike Lee is the Knicks brand consultant. Get out of here.
He's the best thing about the Knicks brand and is individually good at branding on his own terms.
Yes. He's the reason, he's a huge reason Jordans are branded the way they are. Just remember that. Knicks, you fucking idiots.
He also started a Levi's commercial, like a very successful, like, 3-year run of Levi's commercials. And anyway, yeah.
Also, the rumors today were that the Knicks were on the top of their list to be head coach are Jeff Van Gundy and Tom Thibodeau.
How can Jeff Van Gundy come back? I mean, I'm hoping it's true.
God, hire them both, dude.
They just switch. Yeah. Well, aren't they buddies, too?
Yeah, they're best friends.
Just have them trade off games.
Yeah. Oh, man. Remember how Tom Thibodeau sounded at the Basketball World Championships?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Let me see if I can find that.
Let's see Gobert up a little bit more on pick and roll. Swarming defense by the U.S. Very good. Good ball pressure there.
Nicolo Gobert, at the point.
Very good flipping screens. There's another post up.
And a steal.
Right there, Albisi, and that's what... again, 5-out offense. Barnes, great cut again. Right now, we have a quickness advantage and looking to spread them out. Fouls in the NBA, but that's not the way it's called here. Marcus Smart with great defense on Fournier. There's a little more aggression. Good rotation by Middleton, low man. They're very strong, get you on this hip, create space.
And Smart.
Playing terrific, getting downhill. He's got great rhythm here.
24 points for the Jazz star.
Throughout the tournament, there's a good deflection, high hands, open floor. I think Pop has found a group here that's very effective. We haven't done that yet. And I think that's a good point. He's been through it before. Great offensive rebound there, good extra pass.
Harris.
Wide open three.
Barnes knocks down the three. Off the high screen, Walker, step back, jumper, knocks it down.
There, that's smart basketball.
Hey, Lakina.
Got to make sure you're up on him. And got the switch. Gobert in the post. Hey, you're making a great point.
All right, Sean. Let's talk about the Jazz, I guess, right? That's what we want to talk about? Scarves. Yeah. Let's talk about scarves instead.
Not the Jazz.
Sorry, although we're not respecting the Jazz today to talk about them.
I will say, there was that play where Rudy Gobert had an obvious goaltend.
Uh-huh.
And my dream is that Dame Lillard does a diss track on All-Star Saturday. Rudy Gobert doesn't make it to the All-Star game without crying.
I mean, the bigger Jazz problem to me with those guys was Donovan Mitchell just shit-talking Gary Trent for no reason.
That was a weird...
Anyway,
but give Bojan the keys. That's the most trustworthy guy on the team.
All right, let's talk about the scarves.
Oh, yeah.
Sean, walk us through this.
So, Serge Ibaka and OG Anunoby made a video where OG was trying to challenge Serge Ibaka's fashion king status, I believe is the way they arranged it. And look, much of this is promotional material for clothing companies that sponsor them, but I'm kind of in on anything Serge Ibaka does at this point. Making weird food, starting fights for no reason, I'm into it. A couple days ago, they had a scarf off before the game, and OG wore what, you know, you would think was like a pretty aggressive scarf wear, where he had a, I think it was a Burberry scarf, just sort of wrapped around his head, and Serge Ibaka came wearing the largest scarf anyone has ever seen. It looked like there were some rumors that it was actually like a piece of bedding that he was just wearing around his neck. It was truly incredible. And then after the Giants, I mean, he blew him away on the scarf off. And then he bought scarves for the entire Raptors team. So that is the Raptors' identity this year, is Team Scarf.
Well, it's working.
Yeah, they've won, what, 16 in a row now? 15
something
in a row?
Yeah.
Something like that. I kind of think that it could be one of the most convenient trends in Toronto sports history. Like, it's still not warm out there in Jurassic Park at night in April, you know, in Toronto. And now you can wear a scarf to support the team. And also, you know, you're out there for 6 or 7 hours at night. Joey, is this the coziest team chemistry promotion ever?
Probably. Yeah, I can't think of.
Like, I can remember that the Mavs early on in the Dirk era, it was like, we have the fluffiest robes in the league.
That was a big thing, is they got robes and they had a TV in their locker.
Yeah. What a quaint time.
Yeah.
That was.
And then it turned out everyone was
watching pornography almost.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then you like think about what the robe has represented in the 20th century, and you're like, oh, that it's like the convenience of an indecent exposure. That's what a robe means. Like, you have to earn. But yeah, the scarf, it's like the most wholesome thing I've ever heard.
Like, yeah, it's great.
Even if you buy an expensive scarf, it's still just like, that's a scarf.
Yeah, it's great. The only thing I don't like about it is that big scarf Serge wore. Kind of stealing Lenny Kravitz's valor a little bit.
That is true.
The only way he should go full on Kravitz valor stealing and do the split so hard his dick comes out of his rips out of his shorts.
Well, we got to save something for the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, that's our show. Sean, anything you'd like to plug?
Got some NFL pieces on coming out of Yard
I'm sorry?
Park. I've got some NFL pieces coming out.
Yeah, why?
I wrote a thing about all the changes the NFL should make in the next decade. One of them is about moving the Jacksonville Jaguars to London permanently, and I was very mean to the city of Jacksonville, and I don't really feel bad about it. Sorry. Yeah, all our fans in Jacksonville are throwing their phones down right now. But yeah, check that out. And The Business every Monday if you're in LA. Little Joy. Shows are good.
As for me, Thursday, Podstar Weekend, 7:30. Come. It's going to be weird in a good way.
Yeah.
You can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where February 8th I tweeted, I'm starving, but I can't close the button of my wedding suit, so no food for me.
Oh, God.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. Look, there are more Kevin Love songs in the pipeline. I had to take a break for the trade deadline. This is a song I did in collaboration with the great Kanye West about a victim of the trade deadline. It's my first adventure in autotune, and the song is called Harkless.
Great. That's playing under us right now. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Go to Podstar Weekend, dude.
On the blogs, I read the talk. Rumors from Shams and then from Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. The trade machine is so artless. How could you deal more Harkless? Oh, how could you deal more Harkless? How could you deal Mo trading for a guy who's non-guaranteed, yo? Overshadowed by Wiggins for D-Lo. Gerson Ross is Wallace from Indochino. I mean, even if the deal was falling through, I mean, even if they want to pick swap at 22. Hey, yo, Maurice, buddy, let's look on the bright side. Hey, yo, you didn't play with Hassan Whiteside. Now you want to stretch for your gun to deal me. And in the buyout market, Mavs want to steal me. Only Al Farouk knows the real me. Visca into Powell's books. Important you feel me.
On the blogs and read the talk. Rumors from Shams and then to Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. I gotta lease my apartment. How could you deal more Harkless? Oh, how could you deal more Harkless?
How could you be so Daryl Morey? You're bringing up some matching rules that I don't know. Paul George's body got hella weak though. Why you send me away for Marcus Moe? Singing the blues like Oladipo. Winter in New York is so damn cold. I won't stop sending texts to Coach Pop, cause I know they love me in San Antonio. I wish this trade was still tentative. I need to call my representative. The Knicks ain't trying to be competitive. They play like they're taking a sedative.
On the blocks, I read the talk. Rumors from Shams and then from Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. They're waving Isaiah's carcass. How could you deal more Harkless? Oh, how could you deal more Harkless? Talking trade, chugging all the haterade. You can't trust Pat Patterson's knees. Need my bonus, I won't shoot threes. Sorry that I want to win. Sorry I kept my body thin. Sorry I'm not an evil twin. I know you didn't believe in Jerome Robinson. This whole thing makes me sick. I'm headed to the Knicks. Getting on the line. I read the talk. Rumors from Shams and then from Woj. Expiring contracts bought and sold to match the dough. They'll miss me when I've departed. How could you deal more Harkless? Oh, how could you deal more Harkless?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.